Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I'd like to plug the Chase Thomas podcast. Listen to Chase Thomas. You'll be a smarter sports fan and obviously a much better human being.
Matt Chernoff from 680 The Fan's Chuck and Chernoff Show here. And I want to say thanks for listening to today's episode of the Chase Thomas podcast. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, and all your favorite podcast apps. Chase Thomas went to Parkview in North Georgia. He's a local Atlanta kid, and he won't let the Luka versus Trey thing go. He interned with us back in the day, and you'll always remember him. Anyway, definitely go check out ChaseThomasPodcast.com, where you can find all of Chase's previous episodes, all of his articles, and do him a solid. Leave him a rating and review if you're an Apple Podcast listener. Reminder to listen to our show, Chuck and Chernoff, Monday through Friday, 3 to 7 on 680 The Fan, and subscribe to my podcast as well. Welcome to Matlanta, wherever you get your podcasts.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee, up there in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My good friend, fellow Blue Wirean, Ty Windisch of the Eurostep. Ty, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon, Chase. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. I always appreciate it.
Thanks for being here, man. How are you feeling about the Bucks? Everything good? Like, you're floating. The Bucks are just floating in the East. Like, my Hawks is just, they blew up the Suns last night, which was nice, but it's just been like, oh, they're going to be a play-in team. This is rough. They're just going to win two, lose two. This season's just kind of, it's weighing on me. The Bucks are like, we're going to hang around the top four. We're going to be right in there. We're not going to catch the Celtics. Like, they're going to have the best record in the East, it looks like, but that doesn't really matter to us. Like, you have the Nets right below. Like, the Sixers, like, they're like, yeah, give us the Sixers in a 7-game series. We don't need home court for that. I don't know. Like, it feels like the Bucks are just there and good and elite, and we know all of this, but it doesn't feel like there's anything new. Is that how you're feeling with this Bucks season?
I would say it's kind of been a season of different, like, not eras, because it's within a season, but, like, of different stages. The first half of the year was so much. It was honestly kind of a slog, and they never dropped too far, thankfully. But there was certainly, you know, that time when they went under 500 for a pretty significant portion of games after starting 9-0, and that's not fun. And I think as much as the Bucks aren't overly concerned about seeding, as you mentioned, they're not sweating like, oh, we're two, Boston's one, that's a disaster. They're like, no, I mean, if we have to beat Boston, we'd have to win in Boston probably either way. So,
yeah,
you know, we're not going to go crazy to get that. But they don't not want to win, right? It's still a competitive team. They're not like the Cavs in those late LeBron years when they were like, we really, if we're four, cool. If we're five, cool. Especially now with the play-in, I don't think anyone can think like that anymore.
Yeah.
But they want to win, but Chris was out. Drew missed a bunch of games. Chris and Drew combined, I think had missed 51 games, or have missed 51 games, and the Bucks have played 52 or something like that. The numbers are, no, they missed 50. The Bucks have played 51. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really been a lot of Giannis carrying, some games without him too. And, you know, Drew trying to carry just a team that didn't have enough ball handling. But these last 2 weeks or so, Chris is back. Joe Ingles is really rounding into form. They're really fun. So I think at this point, I think it's hard to not look at the season as a Bucks fan and go, hopefully, you know, knock on wood, they weathered the storm of this first half. And now that they're mostly healthy, they can, they're not going to go full throttle, but they can win a little bit more, really get ready for the playoffs. And then, you know, that's their real season. Now Bobby Portis being out makes it less fun. But still, I think it's getting to see some of these ball handlers, and especially Chris Middleton, healthy again. Now it's like, okay, it's the fun part of the season. Now it's the basketball we really wanted when we had to watch, you know, everybody else doing a lot more. And it wasn't quite as fun and or as successful.
Are we closing in on the end of the Chris Middleton era in Milwaukee?
I doubt it. Okay. You know, no extension. He has a player option. Really, I have no idea what he's going to do with that player option, to be honest with you. My best guess is he, at this point, he takes the player option for a year and either extends on that or just waits on that for a little while. Obviously, you know, fully healthy Chris Middleton, I think, is a guy the Bucks don't hesitate to give a couple more years at 40, 50 million, whatever it ends up being by the end of it. But he hasn't been that, right? Pretty clearly. I mean, played 7 games before now coming back again since April or May or whenever it was that he went out against the Bulls in last year's playoffs. So, you know, it's that's the complicating factor, I think, is health. But I still think they'll figure it out. I mean, you look around the league, the true cap space teams for next season, it's like, you know, is Chris going to go sign with the Spurs because he can make a little bit more? I doubt it. I don't think so. I don't think he wants that. I think they'll figure it out. It's probably the most tenuous it's been since Chris was first traded to the Bucks, but I'm not all that worried, and I do think even with the injury consideration, they'll figure out a way to keep him around at least for another year or two. I look at 2024 as a potential pivot from Chris and Drew, or at least one of them, to a bit of a younger co-star around Giannis. That's when they'll have more picks to trade that offseason. So I think we're going to see at least one more year.
If do you think most Bucks fans feel this way? Or are they kind of tired of the injury stuff? Are they kind of turning where they're like, we love Chris, obviously he was an instrumental part of winning a title, but like the availability has to matter at some point. And it's like, we can't win the title if we have to count on Chris Middleton year over year. And it's just, have we already seen the best, healthiest version of Chris Middleton in Milwaukee? Because that could be the difference in Giannis getting another ring and not, and like with Drew playing as well as he has, like, is it kind of one of those just looming things for a lot of Bucks fans? So it's like, yeah, we get it. Like 2024 might be the end there, but like, hey, we're still trying to win a title right now. And he's just not been available. And you're just, do you trust him for another full playoff run?
I think Bucks fans are kind of split. You know, yeah. I think I would say half and half. It's probably less than half that are like upset or whatever word you want to use with Chris, or tired of Chris. But that the thing about Chris Middleton and Bucks fans is there's always been a vocal minority of very anti-Chris Middleton Bucks fans who are like, he's not good enough. He can't be the second guy. He can't
even after
be
the title.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Doesn't stop. You know, they got lucky, whatever. You look at all the bad games he had in the playoff run, blah, 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 blah. And I think maybe you could say he couldn't be the true second guy. But clearly he and Drew are both good enough to be the like 2.5 guy is what I say. Like, clearly that works. I think that they, you know, they still haven't lost a playoff series when they've all played together. Limited sample, but it's pretty impressive. But I don't think we've seen the last. I think it's going to be interesting from here, like the rest of this season, which I think is why there is no extension and no long-term decision on Chris, is everybody, the Bucks included, wants to see, you know, what is he going to look like in this playoff run? I'll say this. I kind of sounded like Foghorn Leghorn for a second. This second return, even though he's not playing many minutes, I think that the tape looks good. I think you really look at him and you go, yeah, it's Chris. That's Chris Middleton. They're going to be safe with him. But what he's doing in 15 and now 20 minutes, there's no reason why he can't do the same. You know, doesn't get much separation, but nails the shot anyway, draws contact, finishes through it, all the Chris stuff. He'll be able to do that in 30 minutes, too. It's just about ramping him up safely. So I think it'll a little bit depend. But personally, I think he'll be okay. I think you look at his injuries, they're mostly unrelated. It's kind of fluky stuff. And I think what killed him this year was his ramp up was so thrown off by the surgery. And going back to his Texas A&M days, the reason he fell in the draft was a knee injury he suffered that he always kind of ramps up his season prep for. And that was disturbed. And then whether it's getting sick, which whatever went through the Bucks and a lot of the NBA, like George Hill said he lost 10 pounds. So I think that went through. Chris suffered with a couple other things. His father passed away at one point and he was away from the team. So I think it's kind of been like the year from hell for Chris. So I'm optimistic that it's not just like, oh, he's prone now to getting injured. I think he suffered through a couple things that maybe not random, but it's not like, you know, oh, Chris's knee again is acting up like it always does. It's kind of a new thing to bother him in season. So certainly hoping that he can put this behind him and with the right ramp up and the Bucks, who are great at this. I mean, you look at how Brook Lopez is playing at his age after his injury status. I think you've kind of got to trust them both, you know, practically that you're not going to trade Chris and get better this deadline. And just, you know, to root for a guy who's been a Buck for 10 years and really done a lot for the franchise.
So there's no trade for Chris Middleton that could make you better post-deadline?
Not at the deadline. I don't think so. I don't even think at the offseason. The problem is, this has always been the problem with Bucks fans who are like, we got to trade Chris. Okay, for who? You're going to trade him for a younger, better player? Why? Why is the other team like, yeah, sure, we'd love to do it. No, it doesn't make any sense. Usually the older players get traded for like developmental guys and picks. And that's great for the Raptors who are, you know, right, where are they going? We don't really know. We have Scottie Barnes. Maybe we can be good next year with Pascal still here, but whatever.
Like you're not getting OG or even, like OG Anunoby and like Gary Trent for Chris Middleton's not happening, something like that.
I don't think it would. And even if it did, like, does that improve your odds this year over Chris if he's healthy?
Yeah.
Like you kind of need that elite shot making and you kind of lose that in that deal. So, I don't think the Raptors would even want to do that. I mean, I had someone tell me the other day, like, oh, what they should do is Chris and their one first for Pascal Siakam. And I was like, yeah, they should do that. The Raptors will never do that ever. They should trade him for Nikola Jokic too, I think. But good luck convincing the other team. So I just don't think there's ever really been a logical Chris trade. I think it would have to be off season and it would have to be like them bundling like Chris on a sign and trade or like expiring or something and a lot of picks to get someone younger and maybe even a three-way trade. I just don't see anything that is going to make them better right now. And as you know, I mean, contending teams don't really like to shift the whole rotation in the regular season if they have to. I think the Bucks will go get Crowder and drop him in like they did with PJ 2 years ago. But I don't think they want to trade Chris right now and try to refigure out everything that they do, you know, 3 months before the playoffs.
Nate has no problems changing up the rotation each and every game.
Neither does Mark Daigneault, so maybe it's not that big of a deal. I hear the Thunder are just like playing some different guys all the time. Maybe because
the Thunder aren't real outside of SGA. Yeah. Like there's like two Jalen Williams on the Thunder right now. You just go through it, and I'm like, there's no way I'm ever going to have a good grasp on who the Thunder is until they start really contending. Like it's chaos. Like
many young guys. Yeah. I'm like, which one are they trying to trade again? Which one do they love? I'm not sure. There's way too many.
Yeah. When did Andre Roberson leave? When did he enter? Because like I saw he got signed by the Blue yesterday, which is I don't understand how that happened. Or they traded for him. Like, where is Andre Roberson? Where has he been?
I don't know where he's been.
Man, those are good times. Andre Roberson just hanging out in the corner on title teams and just hoping for a prayer. Has Giannis been any different than the last 2 years? Because it was interesting to see like around the league what people wanted to do for their first team all-stars. And most were leaving Giannis out of their first team this year. And I wondered how much of those people were actually watching Giannis night in, night out. As someone who is watching Giannis night in, night out, do you think he has been... I don't want to say worse because it's like he's still an MVP level player. It's like I hate using the word worse with him, but like, is he doing anything differently this year, or is it just Joel Embiid is playing at another level? Kevin Durant, when we saw these, playing at another level. Like, what is real with Giannis this year as opposed to the last two?
Yeah, I mean, I think one, people have just gotten tired of him to a certain extent because it's like you say. I mean, people. You know, you hear all the talk, and I think, you know, I listen to the Low Post a lot, and I love Zach Lowe, but every time Giannis comes up in, like, the little MVP or All-Star, it's like, oh, you know, the efficiency's really down and everything else. And it's like, 32-12-5, and the Bucks have been one of the best five teams in the league all season. Mm. Like, it's kind of ridiculous just to hand wave that away. And his efficiency is lower. I think it's a couple conflating things. One is, again, as I mentioned, all the time without Chris and Drew, and it just made life really hard for him. The Bucks perimeter players that were available just really weren't up to par, and you know, teams were able to do the old build a wall, as my co-host Rohan Kadi prefers me to say, build a barrier, the wall term, scarred him. But you know, the paint's just full. And so of course his shooting percentages went down a little bit around the rim because he's got to go through four, three guys every single time in a way that when Chris and Drew and now Joe Ingles, who's been great and opening things up on the outside, and Pat Connaughton missed a bunch of games to start the year too, when those guys are healthy and playing well and hitting shots, you know, defenses can't really do that. You can't afford to just totally ignore the rest of the court like earlier this season they were, when it was, you know, some other players for the Bucks out there who maybe aren't as terrifying to you. If, you know, Javon Carter's had a nice season. He kind of had to be their starting point guard for a while. That's asking a lot of him. That's not really his skill set on a contending team. So I think that goes into it. And also a little bit of variance. He shot mid-rangers especially well last season and really did not to start the year. And I think that percentage is coming up. He's on a little bit of a three-point barrage lately, which means he's like, you know, 2 for 4, 3 games in a row, and everyone gets excited. I'm not buying in that he's like a sniper yet, but, you know, the shot has looked good, and he's stepping into him more, which is nice. But I think his jumper is coming around. But it was really, like, just really cold stretch to start the season. And I don't know if that was, you know, just kind of random variance, which we see with shooters, especially ones who aren't elite shooters, or whether that was, you know, Giannis didn't get a full summer off either because he went to play with Greece in Eurobasket and all the other work he had to do to kind of carry the team. And, you know, he had a lot of games in the high 30s and 40s, you know, really dragging the Bucks to those point totals early on. So, yeah, I think he had to work harder than usual with the Bucks. I think he got it done, and the team's record is kind of a testament to that. And, yeah, I thought it was a little silly how quickly it's like, we don't even have to talk about him in our MVP segment because his true shooting is down 8 points or whatever, and you know, he's
like, they're looking
the
for reasons. They're nitpicking with Giannis. Like, everyone's nitpicking.
That's what frustrated me, because I felt like you listen to other guys' MVP cases, and it's like, why should this guy be MVP? And you get to Giannis, and it's like, what are the reasons we shouldn't even talk about Giannis here? And it's like, how about you look for the reasons he should be? How about scoring the most he's ever scored? How about, you know, who hasn't been there for him? You look at Jokic's first MVP, was it? When, like, it was like, oh man, he really dragged that team. That's what Giannis is doing now. And I'm not even saying he should win MVP. Like, I think Jokic has a great case. I think Embiid, whoever else.
There's, like, no chance they give a third one to Jokic. No way.
The Embiid game, honestly, I think before then he was the guy I thought was going to win it. Right now I do think it's kind of, like, is Tatum going to make a surge? Maybe. He was great in his last game.
I wouldn't cut out Luka. Luka is still just sitting there, because I think if they trade Christian Wood, where it seems like that's where they're going, and they're going to move Dorian Finney-Smith maybe too. Like, I still think the Mavs are winning the West. So I think if he can still get around that third, fourth seed zone, which
that's,
I think
it's going to be tough, though. I don't see. I'm a little worried. I think they keep putting it out there through some folks around the team, like they would trade those guys in the right deal, and I think Wood before DFS. But I think they're kind of thinking, like, let's just get through this year. And then, like I'm saying, for the Bucks in 24, we can make our bigger splash in the offseason. So if they make a move and get better, I could see that. Right now, though, I just look at their team and I'm like, it's going to be hard for them to finish high enough for Luka to win. As great as he has played, that's going to be what it comes down to for him.
Yeah. I also think, I thought it was kind of funny. We thought, like, Embiid missed his moment. Right, where it was like, not this year for Embiid to win MVP, then I don't know if he'll ever have enough juice or healthy enough for a full run. And then this year you're like, I mean, if it's not this year, when are you actually going to give Joel Embiid an MVP? Is he going to go through his whole prime without one? That seems wild. I don't know, he's another dark horse. I think if the Sixers finish second in the East and they keep this trend going, then I mean, you could definitely see that too.
I think if any of the Bucks, Sixers, or Nets somehow get first, and I think the Nets are, like, totally falling out, which understandably without KD they just don't.
Yeah, they're not getting the first seed. Yeah,
but if one of those other teams, I mean, it seems like the Celtics are running away, but I think it's what, like, 2.5 games right now. Like, they have a lead, but it's not insurmountable. I think if one of those other, like, if Giannis or Embiid leads their team to first in the East, and probably then NBA too, I think it would probably go to them. And I think if the Celtics finish first, then it's going to be like, it might be pretty open, depending on the West. If the Nuggets stay up, I don't think it's impossible for Jokic to get three. I think
Ja's not out of the question either. Like, if Ja's healthy and the Grizzly get first seed, I think he's probably in that conversation too.
That's a good point. He's not out of the question. I would be a little surprised if he won.
Yeah, I would too. But I think it's just, like you said, you have to win enough games. You have to be at 1-2 seed, something like that. And the problem with Tatum is him and Brown cancel each other out, I think, a lot. And it's not great, even though I think everybody would say Tatum's a better player and more important. Agreed. But where have the Bucks struggled at various points this season? Is it just health, or is there something that you've noticed throughout the year where you're like, this is different than the last few years? Like, what have you noticed where they've hit some lulls that have not come up the last couple of years?
I think it's hard to say because we had the healthy Bucks roster, like their top eight, I guess, that you'd expect to play for three quarters of Chris's return against the Pistons. And then Bobby Portis goes out. And so we really have not seen, like, the starters who, like, right now Pat is starting, but assume Chris will slide in there at some point. So Drew, Grayson, Chris, Giannis, Brooke, and then the bench unit of, let's say, Javon Carter, Joe Ingles, Pat Connaughton, Bobby Portis, and then a little bit of Wes Matthews maybe in there, right? Like, that's maybe your ninth guy. But your 10th guy at that point. We just haven't seen that group. So it's a little difficult to say, like, exactly what they're missing. Earlier in the season, it did seem like shot making and just juice, like, off the dribble. And that's why I was, you know, getting excited about potential Jordan Clarkson deal, which I don't even know if Utah is going to trade him, but someone like that. But then Chris gets back, Ingles gets into a rhythm, and Ingles, I just can't say enough about how good he's looked given the injury and how useful he's been for the Bucks. And productive for their offense. So now it seems like, oh, maybe it's a little shooting or just another big body defensively. You can always use more of those. Wes Matthews has played very well the last couple of weeks after a bad start to the year, but he's still 6'5". And as much as I think he could help you in a series, you know, it's you know, you can't just be like, guard KD, right, for the whole series. Guard. He'll try Tatum. He does an okay job on Tatum, but you'd like more. You'd like more options. So I think Crowder, even though the offense is going to be a little bit of a question mark, as is the conditioning, because we haven't seen him at all, having that big body who you're like, you know, is he going to shut down Kevin Durant or Jason Tatum? No, of course not. But also nobody is. And it's really just about, like, he can play respectable defense. You can get more switchable. You cannot have these gaping holes. So if Grayson Allen's getting, you know, totally targeted and is not making shots like he was against the Celtics, you can just go, okay, you're not going to play anymore. And now we'll just have Crowder, Wes Matthews, Giannis, Chris, Drew, maybe a little bit of Javon, although he's a little small, right? Like, you have more flexibility. So I do think you get the big wing, you probably have enough everywhere else. They also need a backup big. Their big rotation's really thin with Bobby out. So I don't think that's a trade meant necessarily. That might just be like a buyout guy because Serge Ibaka's decided he's not going to play anymore for the Bucks.
Which is a part of this league now. This is where we're at. Like, it just guys are like a Jay Crowder who might be a Buck. Who knows?
Yeah.
Based on that, like, they're just, I'm not going to play anymore and get hurt until you trade me.
It's just like, the worst part about it is for both of those guys.
Yeah.
And Crowder's is worse, obviously, because of all the history and everything. Like, the teams need them right now. Well, now I think, why am I blanking on the Suns forward name who just got back?
Jay Crowder?
No.
Oh, Cam Johnson.
Cam Johnson. I was going to say Cam Thomas. I think I'm.
Well, there is Cam Thomas. He's over there. They're basically both stretch fours who just only shoot three. So, yeah.
But now that he's back, but like when he was out, the Suns really could have used Crowder. And the Bucks right now went from Giannis being out for 4 or 5 games to now Bobby being out for a couple weeks. That's when they needed the backup big. That was the whole point of having him. But whatever, digression. I think they'll need a backup big. It's not as important. That's a regular season, like, innings eater kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think a big body or some shooting or upgrading Grayson, but I just think that's harder to do and less likely to happen.
Yeah. Well, it seems like Grayson's on the way out. Like, if you had to guess based on the reporting and where things are headed, do you think the Jay Crowder deal is dead, or do you think there's still a possibility that he's a Buck?
I think it's happening. I think it's happening for sure. I think the Suns situation right now is so weird, right? They have the owner coming in apparently like the day before the deadline. So they might be waiting on that. Like, I'm kind of wondering, is he going to go full new owner syndrome and like announce trades at his intro presser, which would be like the classic, like, I own this team now, let me make a bang. Like, I'll announce this 4-team trade where we get OG or whatever the hell they get. And plus, There is the they're trying to find a third team, I think. I don't think the Suns are interested in any of the Bucks stuff. So they've got to find, like, who can we route, you know, the George Hill, Jordan Wara, Serge Ibaka, 3 second round picks to. They send a forward to Phoenix. Phoenix sends Crowder to Milwaukee. So I think both of those things are going on. And that's why. But, I mean, the fact that the Suns gave the Bucks and only the Bucks permission to meet with Crowder, and they did, presumably, to talk about an extension or a role on the team, I just seem like it just seems like that's going to happen. It's just a matter of what exactly ends up going to Phoenix and what third or however many teams are involved. Maybe it's directly part of the trade where, you know, someone on the Raptors or John Collins or whoever goes to Phoenix even. So I just think there's so many moving parts for the Suns that they're kind of like, yeah, we'll send Crowder to the Bucks. The Bucks will send stuff somewhere. Let's figure out the other parts now. That's not sourced at all. That's just my read on what's happening with those teams. And there's just, like I said, so much seems like going on in Phoenix right now. The Bucks are probably like, can you just trade us Jay Crowder already, please? Like, we're ready to have Jay Crowder on our team. But I think the Suns are not quite there yet.
I just imagine the new owner coming in like Ari from Entourage with Jay Crowder. He's like, get the... Like, that's his first move. Like, he just comes to the press conference like, Jay Crowder's out of here. And the other thing is, like, with Cam Johnson being hurt all year, like, he could have just started this whole time and probably been out sooner. Like, he could have just... He would have just started. It would have been fine. Like, I don't... He would have played a lot. I don't understand that one at all. Like, that
whole mess. Now they're saying it's an extension thing now. Which is like, I guess, but it's very weird.
Yeah.
And usually I'd have more reservation about trading for a guy in this spot, but also, like...
You need him and you trust the Bucks culture and, like, y'all want a title. Like, you... There's teams where you're like, just bring him in. And it's like the Heat are in that conversation. Like, you're in that conversation where it's just... You just kind of trust your culture that you've built that, like, he comes in, he slides in, he's fine.
100%.
I do think it's kind of weird that people are assume, like, they put him in the same zone as PJ Tucker, right? Where it's like, oh, he fills the PJ Tucker mold. And I'm like, kind of. PJ Tucker's a different kind of dude. PJ Tucker, I think Jay Crowder has more opportunities to hit more shots than PJ Tucker, which is more important. But I think the defense and just the tank mentality of PJ Tucker is still just something that cannot be replicated even by Jay Crowder, who's a fine defender, but he's not PJ Tucker.
I 100%. Also, the rebounding is a lot different. I mean, PJ's offensive rebounding, but it's like, I'm really intrigued to see what the team looks like with Crowder, assuming they get him, because I think there's been a little bit of a shift to offense lately. I mean, Ingles has helped with that too, and just like more personnel that does stuff with the ball. And that's like Crowder, like PJ to Crowder is definitely a big shift of like, you know, PJ I think is better defensively, but Crowder scores like 10 points a game. Like, you look at last playoffs, and this was a comp I was referencing a lot when the trade seemed like it would involve Grayson, which it no longer does. Like, I think PJ has sat out so long that the Bucks and other teams are like, we're not going to give you that much. We haven't seen the guy play at all. But like Crowder in the last postseason, I think scored more per game than Grayson Allen, who's thought of as like the offensive player. And he is a better shooter and probably a better fit with the Bucks. But like Crowder still scores. Like, he gets to the rim. He'll make a couple threes. I think he's an insanely streaky shooter. I'm not going to rely on him. But it is still like, whereas PJ would be like, I remember during the Nets series that like he was asked like, you know, is it disappointing to you? Like, do you think you need to score more? He's like, I'm guarding Kevin Durant. I should have to score zero. And he did score zero like five times in that playoff run. It just wasn't a priority for him.
Yeah.
Which it worked. It was fine. It fit what the Bucks wanted to do.
But that's not Jay Crowder.
No. So it's just different. And I'm kind of excited to see like what that also impact has on the rest of the Bucks. Maybe they're a little bit less of a slog. Like, they're fun to watch in the playoffs, but they're so like, you know, we're going to score 95, you're going to score 90, or we're going to score 110, you're going to score 101. Maybe they'll be a little more fast paced. I'm not sure. We'll see. They are still a big strong team, even with Crowder. So it'll be, I just can't wait. I'm excited for playoff Bucks, as you can tell.
How about this? Stay or gone at the deadline. Here's your clairvoyant tie opportunity here.
I like this.
Grayson Allen, is he on or off this team after the deadline?
I think he's on the team at this point.
Pat Connaughton.
Definitely on the team. People, the Pat for Crowder trade that was mentioned, I was like, no, absolutely not. How many firsts would the Suns throw in for that? I'm not sure, but the Bucks are probably saying no. It's too important.
I like it. Chris Middleton.
On the team, for sure.
Serge Ibaka.
For sure off. Like, number one most likely to be off. I think no matter what, if everything else falls through, they'll send him somewhere.
Okay. Javon Carter.
I think on.
Okay. George Hill.
Probably off. And this pains me. Second year, they had to send him off for the contract. He'd get a ring this time at least, but it hurts me. He's played okay this year. His salary is just necessary to get Crowder or someone like that.
Grayson Allen.
Still on.
Okay. Are you enjoying that? Do you enjoy the Grayson Allen experience?
No, not really. No. But I think if you asked me by the end of the offseason, I'd probably guess off, especially like if they do get Crowder and extend him, it'd probably be a similar salary figure to Grayson. And then you have to see how both play. They'll have an Ingles decision. They'll be able to re-sign him at roughly the same or not if they want to. It's going to be interesting. But I don't enjoy it. But I think, you know, he does what he does. It's fine. And there's the Grayson proponents will tell you he was asked to do too much against Boston. And I think that's true. He was asked to do too much. I don't know if I trust him to even do a little less, but I do think it's likely to look better than like, okay, can you just stand in and start and give us some approximation of Chris? And he was like, no, I can't. So I think if he's, you know, a couple layers lower on the totem pole, a couple levels lower, he'll look better and, you know, he can do what he does and he's fine. I don't think they have to trade him. I'm open to it, but, you know, I don't think they're like going to press and like, we need to get rid of this guy because he can help them. He can hit shots, space the floor, whatever.
Thanasis.
Always on. If he's off the team, something's gone really. Unless he's started a podcast now. Unless he's going full time media and he doesn't want the $1.8 million every year. I think he's going to be on the team.
What a good gig, man! He's got a great gig.
He's
got a really good
motivational
gig.
Speaker, basically.
Yeah. Has Drew Holiday taken the lead? Because what's interesting too, you're talking about All Star stuff and how it's interesting. I think when you're a fan of a team and like listening to other folks nationally talk about your team and like who should be first team, like. Trae Young, it's like he's not an all-star. Like, if you ask me as someone who watches all these games, like, Trae Young's the third best player on the Hawks this year. Like, as of late, like, he's the third. DeJounte, it's not even particularly close. Like, DeJounte Murray's been the best player.
Yeah.
And anyone who's like, oh, we're putting Trae in over DeJounte and you're at my all-star team. I'm like, all right, you haven't watched the Hawks at all this year. Like, that's all I needed to know from you. And then you look at AJ Griffin, who is going to be a really, really good player. But he is so much fun. Best shot creator. He's been really, really important in his minutes, and he saved some of the games for the Hawks this year. Like, he is a really good player, good defender. Very excited about AJ Griffin. Better player, more fun to play with, all that.
Wow, better player than Trae Young this year.
He's so much fun. Like, AJ, like, Trae, oh my goodness. Like, it's funny. Like, I was back home in Atlanta for the weekend, took my wife to her first Hawks game. And
nice.
It was fun. Kawhi Leonard hurt my feelings late in
that
game. He'll
do that. He will do that. Yeah.
But you know what? I was just happy that I got to see Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and this whole group healthy because like you just don't know anymore like when you're going to see guys on because you plan these trips out and you're like, I hope he's not missing this game. And I was just glad that he was there. But it was one of those where I was like, AJ's, here's the crossover. Like, here's AJ. Like, he finds his spots. He's just, he doesn't play like a rookie at all. And then Trae will get frustrated. Cause like Trae, if DeJounte takes the ball up two times in a row and does stuff, then Trae's like, all right, it's my turn. And then I'm going to do something stupid. And he had a bunch of turnovers and he just gets lost on every defensive possession. Like you watch Trae, I would highly encourage people just watch Trae Young on defense, like for a full game. If you haven't watched the Hawks, just watch Trae. On defense, fast forward the offense stuff, just watch what happens on defense with Trae Young. It's just, he can't. Like, he's smaller, and he's just never in the right spot. He gets killed on backdoor cuts all the time. He just gets killed in ball screens. Like, he's just not. And then DeJounte's over here like a pterodactyl all the time. Like, just swiping everything, and he's great. Like, I love the DeJounte Murray experience, but the Trae Young experience has not been great at all this year. All that to say, Drew Holiday, it seems like around the league of people who may, you would not have guessed would be like, hey, Drew Holiday, absolute all-star this year. Because he's just never felt like that. It's like everyone's like, he's a good player. Like, everybody wants a Drew Holiday on their team.
He entered like, the Conley zone. That's where he's been at lately.
Yeah. But is he an all-star to you? Has he actually gotten better in some areas this year that has, that it comes as no surprise to you and Bucks fans that he's getting more love nationally as an all-star?
I think he's a little better, but I think he's just been so good and just largely underappreciated. I mean, if you ask any Bucks fan who watches the team a lot, last year when the All-Stars were announced and we heard one of the last ones was Milwaukee Bucks, and we're like, oh, good, Drew got it. He deserves it. And then Chris Middleton, and we were like, oh, it's great. We'd like to see Chris get his third All-Star. I think that's terrific. Drew was better last year, for sure, last regular season. And I think this year, the reason he's getting more buzz. And I keep seeing two Knicks on and one Buck. And I'm like, doesn't sit right with me. Mm-hmm. Does not sit right with me. You watch Drew play the quote-unquote all-star. And I think Jalen Brunson's good. I think Jalen Brunson's good. I don't want to take anything away from him. Mm. Watch Drew Holiday. Actually, Jalen got the better of him in one of the games. But you watch Drew Holiday play these other all-star players. And he usually has the better night out of the all-star guard he's going up against. Jalen Brunson did get him in at least one of those games. But, you know, other guys, Trae Young for sure. The Cavs all-star guards. I mean, Donovan is going to do stuff to everyone. But when the Bucks have beat the Cavs, it's in large part because Drew is, like, taking turns putting those guys into a locker. And I think the appreciation has been there because Chris has been out and Giannis missed some games. And he's had to do a lot more when he's been healthy. I think he missed like 11 games this season or 10 games. And those were rough. But he's had to score more. He's had to facilitate more. And he's shot the ball really well, which he does on and off as a Buck. Mostly on. His step back is so good. And he's just had some of those big moments that are like all-star moments. Like the four games Giannis missed. They lose two in Miami. And then they have a back-to-back against the Pacers, and I forget who the other team was, and maybe the Raptors. And Drew willed them to win in both fourth quarters. Like, he just took over. He's like, we're going to win these games. And it's important. Like, those kind of wins, like two wins without Giannis, without Chris, everyone else, that matters a lot. And without Ingles for one of them, because he's not playing back-to-backs right now. And there's been a significant amount of games this year where it was like Drew was the reason they were able to win that game. And his stats look better because of it, I think. He's scoring more because he has to. His assist numbers are high, everything else. So, and what he does on defense. So I think the hope is, and we'll find out tonight from when we're recording, the hope is the coaches appreciate that and his defense enough to give him one of the last spots. Because I do think he's been deserving. I would have argued Brooke earlier in the season. The shot has fallen off a little bit. He'll probably be on an all-defense team again, if not DPOY. I'll be happy enough with Drew, but I do think I would like to see Drew make it.
Yeah, it feels like that ship has sailed with Brooke. Brooke's like he's not what you want in an all-star game. Like, just fine, but he's like, he's an all-star. He's an important linchpin to a team that can win the title. But it's like, no one wants to see the drop coverage stuff from Brooke Lopez in the all-star game.
I think Brooke would shoot like 23s if they let him play in the all-star, to be clear. Yeah. His numbers are up. I think he would have fun with it, and he'd be fun to watch. But, you know, I get that, you know, if one of the Knicks
then he comes back the next game after the all-star game, and he's just firing up, and you're like, no, Brooke, no, no, that's not what you're doing.
We're not in that anymore.
Yeah. I like it. We'll end on this. The lineup that you trust the most to get Milwaukee back to the finals this year is what? What do you think? And let's go ahead and assume Jay Crowder is in this deal. Like, you think he's a Buck. And based on where the guys you have and the guys you expect to have, what is the lineup that you trust the most to guide this team back to the finals?
I'm going to be boring because I think there's some really fun ones with Ingles, who I still do think the lineups that have all of Chris, Drew, Ingles around Giannis are going to be some of the most fun lineups for the Bucks.
Do you think Ingles could close?
No, I don't. I think that would be a fun lineup to pick, and I'm excited to see more of it, but I'm not picking it. And then, of course, the super switchy with Crowder going small, I think is really fun too. But I'm going to go with the bread and butter, tried and true, Drew, Pat, Chris, Giannis, Brooke. And I think that's the guys that have been there before, the guys they trust, you know, five of the six probably most important players in 2021 when they won it all. I think they just trust those guys the most. I don't know how often that lineup will close. I do know, like, although he's not a by default starter, I do think Pat Condon has a good chance to close a lot of games just because he does everything at least well. Right? He's like a player who doesn't have a glaring weakness anywhere. Depends on the matchup. Sometimes they might want to go more defense over him. It wouldn't surprise me if Crowder got there. But I think Condon's versatility, becoming a really elite, like, fast catch and shoot three-point shooter, like, the ball doesn't go down, he catches it and it just goes straight up. There's a lot of value in how he shoots, and they just trust him, and he's been there for so long. So I think it's those five, but I'm really excited to see, you know, what is, you know, Ingles in there and go small with Giannis, or they can do Portis to not go as small. They'll be able to do Crowder and be more switchable. Like, the whole thing is they'll have a lot of options, hopefully. And that in itself is pretty exciting because you look at when they won it, you know, Bobby doesn't play against the Nets. Brooke doesn't play that much against the Suns. Like, Giannis didn't play against the Hawks, not because of matchup, because he got hurt. And they had to go different modes, and they were able to. So I think that's important for them, that they'll have a couple of switches that, you know, they're not going to be like the most tactical team like Nick Nurse throwing out 50 different coverages, but being able to have different modes is big for them. So I think it'll be important that they have multiple, but I'll go with the guys who have been here the longest as like the one I really trust the most to get it done.
I lied. I have one more thing. Yeah. 1 through 3. Healthy Durant implied here. Most, you don't want to play the most. Who stands in the way the most of the Bucks winning the East again versus least afraid? Healthy Sixers, healthy Nets, healthy Celtics. 1 through 3. How would you rate?
Celtics, Nets, Sixers.
Okay.
Would not. I mean, I want them to beat the Celtics. It's not like I don't want to see that series, but I think that the Celtics, I still think their highest gear is the most damaging. Mm. I think the Nets more than the Sixers. I kind of like the way the Bucks match up with the Sixers. And I don't trust Harden in the playoffs still, which you could say that's like a narrative take. I can say we've seen it happen enough times where it's not just a narrative anymore. And the Bucks are just so damn big that I think Embiid can play well against them and has had great games against them. But, you know, Brooke and Giannis as the back line is probably one of the best options in the league to go up against him. So I don't hate going up against the Sixers. I'm not as afraid of them. But I think the Nets, just because of KD and Kyrie at their very best, can just be hard to keep up with. And Claxton's leap factors in pretty big there. I still think the Bucks would beat them, but I think at their absolute apex, they threaten me a little more just because I've seen KD in a 7-game series. And it's like, Jesus, man, I don't know how you're – I still don't know how the Bucks did it, to be honest. But the Celtics just have another level as a team. And I've just got to put them first because they're the ones who've done it most recently.
There you go. Ty, this was great. I appreciate you making the time this afternoon. What can the good folks check out from you over at GSPN and the post Aaron Rodgers coverage with your Packers stuff? You got Christian Yelich getting ready to get traded by the Brewers because y'all are going to go cheaper.
No,
we're getting
Christian Yelich.
Starting left fielder for the Atlanta Braves come July. Christian Yelich, it's a good time.
Do you have any more Contreras's to send over? Maybe we could.
No, we are done with it.
We could save a lot of money. I mean, that's, you know,
he's gonna be good for y'all. I think he's gonna be a star in Milwaukee.
I hope so. You mean Contreras or Yelich?
Oh, Yelich is over. Like the health in his head. But I would love
good leadoff hitter now. Good leadoff hitter now. He's embraced it. Props to him. That's a difficult transition. We have even better baseball talkers and certainly better at football talkers than me. Hopefully the post-Rodgers era, if you ask our guys on Talk of the Tundra.
Yeah, because you're a Saints guy, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of in between now.
Okay.
The Saints are kind of losing me to be. I do the coverage now for the pod, and it's the regional team. And the Saints, it's like I'm not going to go out of my way to watch Dennis Allen coach Andy Dalton and then to go Aiden.
I understand.
They're not
it's also the Saints. Like you could be a Falcons fan. Like I can go get you some Falcons stuff. I'll ship it up your way. You'll love it.
Some things haven't faded from the Saints. But you can check
out
all of our
There was
pods.
One. Who was the last player to go up into or who was the first player to go up into Lambeau and win a playoff game?
Ever? I couldn't tell you.
Michael Vick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Falcons in Lambeau.
Wow. I did not
know
that.
Brett Favre.
That part I can believe.
That was a fun night. I still remember where I was watching with family. It was fun time.
Brett just closing his eyes and whipping it, and somehow won a Super Bowl, 3 straight MVPs or whatever it was. My career. But GSPN.info, you can find. We have Bucks pods, Brewers, Packers, Make Time for This, which is like TV, films, and just other stuff. So a lot of great content. And appreciate anyone who checks it out. And
are you
appreciate
on that one?
You. Not as much. I'm hoping when Succession comes back. I haven't been able to.
Oh, can't wait. Also, did they not say like when it was coming? Is it
March?
Is there a date? March.
It's early March. Yeah, we're like a month out now. It's coming up. Thankfully.
So you got Succession. You got Yellow Jackets, which is my jam. Like Yellow Jackets is my favorite show right now. I don't know if you've watched that.
No.
Dude, Yellow Jackets is a banger. Yellow Jackets is a banger on Showtime. My favorite show. If you like Lost, did you watch Lost?
No.
Mm.
See, I'm not in the loop on TV. I feel like I'm like Succession, the Bear. I really liked, but it's like I pick and choose.
The Bear's pretty good.
Yeah,
the Bear's pretty. You kind of look like the guy from the Bear.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, it's a compliment. You just said that, and I'm like, you do kind of look like him. That's funny.
I won't try to do the voice. I'm Midwestern, but it's a very different Midwestern. I don't want to. I can't do the Chicago voice.
I can't do it either. I grew up like in the South in Atlanta. It's funny, like I don't have any Southern accent whatsoever, but my grandmother, my late grandmother had like this beautiful, like slow Southern, which I always envied. Like slow Southern, like classy slow Southern is, it's like they're talking in cursive where I'm coming down the, and you're just like, woo. That's a, like, it's a beautiful thing. But like my voice, I have Kansas. I remember taking the quiz and it was like, you have a Kansas accent. And I'm like, what is that? How do I get a Kansas accent? How does that happen? It probably works for podcasting and everything though.
Yeah. I wonder what I got to take this quiz. I don't know. I don't know if I sound like I'm from Wisconsin or not. Probably depends what I'm saying.
Yeah. There might be like little ticks, like little things that you just, it comes out and someone's like, oh, clearly Wisconsin. Like, yeah, big cheese head. There you go. Ty, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, and I'll have to talk to you again soon.
Looking forward to it, Chase. Thanks again.
This is Ben Ingram, radio voice of the Atlanta Braves, and I'm here to tell you that you've reached the end of today's episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast. As a friend of the podcast, I'd like to say thank you for listening to today's episode and hope you return for the next one. To show your support for the program, tell a friend or coworker or even a family member about the program. And if you're an Apple Podcast listener, leave the show a rating and a review. It goes a long way. That'll do it for me. But don't forget to listen to myself and the rest of the team at 680 The Fan and the Braves Radio Network this season. Go Braves!
Chase, I think I'm going to hear more about you. I really do. I think you've got a way about you, but you're interviewing. Pleasantness, you're smart. So I think I'm going to hear big things about you.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.